Welcome to This Week at Calvary, a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church at Portsmouth, Ohio, on the web at becauseofcalvary.com and reaching our community with the love of Christ. Today we hope to encourage you to open God's Word, prepare your heart for God's leading, and find your place in God's great plan. The Calvary Baptist Church exists to teach and preach Jesus Christ and bring glory to the God of our salvation. We believe the Bible is God's infallible Word, faith in Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, and that every believer can be used of God in His great work. Plan to listen each week and visit Calvary Baptist Church. Our church meets together Sundays, 9:30 a.m., Sunday School for Children and the School of the Bible for Adults, at 10:30 for the morning worship service, and then at 6 p.m. for the evening worship service, and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for prayer meeting and Calvary Baptist, Crusaders, and Ambassadors Clubs. Thank you for listening to This Week at Calvary.
Well, we welcome you to this interview with Calvary. This is Pastor Ryan Brown from the Calvary Baptist Church in Portsmouth, Ohio. And my guest today is Leo Grenaud. And it just worked out that he was visiting with a young man who'd helped us in our church for some time and was an intern for us. And so Leo is visiting, and I found out that he has this testimony that is tied to the city of Portsmouth. And we're going to get into that here in just a few moments. But Leo, it's good to see you.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are originally from what country?
I'm originally from the island of Mauritius. It's an island of the east coast of Africa. It's about 500 miles east of the bigger island of Madagascar. Yeah.
So it's a very small island in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Very small. It's about 720 square miles.
Now, many people would hear that and they would wonder, how did a person from Mauritius end up in America?
Well, the connection is the missionary that led my mom and dad to the Lord. He came from this part of the U.S. He was from Portsmouth, Ohio, and his name is David Fields. And he came to my island, and he ministered for about a year and led my mom and dad to the Lord. But the government at this time in Mauritius was Hindu, and they still are against missionaries coming now. And so the Fields were kicked out of the Mauritius island. And while they came back to Portsmouth, Ohio, a man asked David Fields if he could not go back to Mauritius, would somebody from Mauritius come to the States, study, and then go back to Mauritius to minister to his own people? And that's where my dad came to the States, study, and went back to Mauritius as a missionary.
So let me get this right. Dave and Elwanda Fields, who are from here in Portsmouth, God laid on their heart, about how long ago was this?
At least 40 years ago, maybe. Yes, sir.
So about 40 years ago, God laid on their heart to go to Mauritius.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any idea how God worked in their heart, why they chose that place?
I know that just recently I was reading the book that Mrs. Elwanda Fields wrote, and she wrote about how they got the first mission conference that Highlands Park Baptist Church had, where Dr. Lee Robertson was the pastor there. That's where they surrendered to go to the mission field. And I have no idea how they heard of Mauritius or why they chose Mauritius, but I know they were in Africa before, in some other countries in Africa, and then they came to Mauritius for about a year. But they must have heard of it while they were in Africa, in the continent. Yeah.
Now, so this family, they God laid on their heart to leave from Portsmouth. They went to Mauritius after Bible college and things, and they're now serving the Lord. And actually, their son, Paul and Marla Fields, son and his wife, are supported by our church, and they're in Paraguay. Mm-hmm. And they have many family members that are still serving the Lord. But tell me, you're back in their hometown. What does it mean to you? Is this kind of come full circle for you? Mm-hmm. You say, well, I'm in Portsmouth, Ohio, and I'm saved today because of some people that were here.
I was thinking about it earlier, thinking how the Lord worked it out for me to be here. And because of people from this exact town left everything, because, I mean, when they left to go to Mauritius, there was no like plane or telephone or internet and all that stuff. So when they were leaving everything to go tell people about the Lord. And because of their faithfulness, like my parents got saved, and eventually I got saved. And because of that, the Lord called me to the mission to be a full-time service. And I went to Crown, and now I'm in their hometown and able to share that story. I think it's just such amazing how the Lord works, that they left everything, and now I'll be able to visit where he grew up and where he's from. It's just a great blessing to be able to do that.
Now, your family were led to the Lord by these missionaries, and what are your parents doing now?
My dad, when he came back to Mauritius, he started working as a pastor, and he pastors a church. And actually, out from the church he pastors, there's about four other churches that our church started, and there's about four preachers that came from our church that are now preaching but pastoring in these churches in Mauritius. So he's faithfully been serving the Lord for over 35 years. He's been faithfully serving the Lord there in Mauritius now.
Yeah. Just give me a guess. How many people are we talking about? Of course, I know we can't really quantify this real easily, but from one family, from a small town in Ohio, how many people are we talking about that are now saved and have eternal life through Jesus Christ as a result of the influence of one family?
Easily about maybe 10,000 people we're talking about easily. Yeah.
So we're talking about 10,000 people.
Yes, sir.
Truly, there's a great power in one person just yielding their lives to the Lord, isn't there?
Yes, sir, there is.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, you have come to Bible college, and what are your plans?
Well, I just graduated with a pastoral major at Crown. And
Now, what is Crown?
Crown College is the school. It's a Bible college right outside of Knoxville. And it's Pastor Sexton is the pastor of a Temple Baptist Church that started the Bible College there.
Okay, so you graduated with a degree, is it in pastoral?
Pastoral major, yes, sir.
And with a plan of doing what?
Well, my plan is, when I came to the States, I came to study, to prepare for the ministry, and to go back to reach my own people for the Lord. And that's always been my plan in those 4 years I was here. So I've been here for 4 years now. Haven't been back to Mauritius at all. So I'm excited. I'm planning on going back to my country and there serve the Lord and work with my dad for a little bit first. And then from there on, maybe moved on to another church and start my own church. But there's also the bigger island of Madagascar that's been on my heart. So, and I know it's been on the heart of the people in Mauritius. So we're thinking about I'm praying that the Lord, if he allows me to go there also as a missionary.
Okay. Now, how many people are we talking about on this island?
Mauritius is, there's about 1.2 million people on the island of Mauritius. And about 40% of our population are Hindus. And the next big religion is Roman Catholic, and then Hindus and Muslims. And Islam is these are the three big religions. And there's a great need for the gospel there. And we have about seven Baptist churches on the island now. And there's other Christian denominations, but we have about seven Baptist churches on the island of Mauritius.
And how would you describe the island? Is it a rural island? Is it a farming place? Is it industrial? What keeps people living there?
Well, Mauritius is really big on producing sugar. Sugar cane is one of our main industry, but then tourism is I think now is becoming the main industry on the island. We've won the best beach in the world award. So Mauritius is a really touristic place for sure. So we have offshore companies that come in and do offshore banking and things like that. We speak two languages, French and English, very fluently. So a lot of companies from Europe are based in Mauritius too now.
Well, very good. Well, you know, I just wanted to sit down with you and spend some time because I am so encouraged when I see the influence that Portsmouth, Ohio can have. When somebody can be sent out of here, tell other people about Christ, and now the people that were led to the Lord as a result of their ministry now come back in and can say, yes, I'm serving God also. It's just encouragement. I think it's something our people need to hear. And I'd like you to tell me, just tell our folks, if you would, those who are listening, some encouragement as to why they ought to serve the Lord, why they ought to launch out, why it's a good idea for them to go to some place like Mauritius and knowing that they can have fruit of the Lord. What kind of encouragement would you give people in that regard?
Well, I would say that you never know what the Lord can do with somebody that is yielded to him. I mean, the fields, when they left, they gave their all to the Lord. they left not knowing if they would ever come back. And last time my parents talked to them, they say they want to stay in Africa and be buried there. But you never know what God can do when you yield your life to Him. Because if you would give Him just a little bit, He could make something really great with it. But if you would give it your whole life, I mean, He would do amazing things with you. You just have to give yourself to the Lord and let Him use you. And it's never a wasted life when you give it to God.
Well, amen. Well, it's been my pleasure to have as my guest Leo Grenade, and he's from Mauritius, getting ready to return there, and so be praying for him. But as we were speaking this morning, he told me of his testimony and how his family was led to the Lord by this family here in Portsmouth, Dave and Alwanda Fields, still serving the Lord in Africa. Pray for their family as God would bring them to your attention, and just remember that we can have an influence for the cause of Christ. And our town is being used of God all over this world. Stay tuned for the rest of This Week at Calvary.
Today's good news from God's Word is brought to you by the Children's Ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church and read today by David, a fourth grader at Wheelersburg Middle School.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23.
Over the last several years, God has allowed the radio ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church to expand all over the world. The program that you're listening to right now is heard in several countries and states all across the United States. And recently, we've added another very important part to the Calvary Baptist radio ministry. We would like to introduce to you Because of Calvary Radio. You can listen online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world at becauseofcalvary.com. You can also listen on iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio on your smartphone, iPhone, or Android, and take Because of Calvary Radio with you wherever you go. This is a great opportunity to feature many ministries that are here local, as well as ministries all over the world. Feel free to listen in your office or wherever God may lead you to listen, but make sure you take time to listen to Because of Calvary Radio at becauseofcalvary.com or on the TuneIn Radio app.
In a world full of broken dreams, where the truth is
hard to find. For every promise that is kept, there are many left behind. Though it seems that nobody cares, it still matters what you do. Cause there's a difference you can make, but the choice is up to you. Will you be the one to answer to his call? And will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take his life into a darkened world?
Though sometimes it is hard to know who is right and what is wrong, and where are you supposed to stand when the battle lines are drawn?
There's a voice that keeps calling out for someone who's not afraid to be a beacon in the night to a world that's lost its way. Will you be the one to answer to his call? And will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take his life into a darkened world? Yet the Lord provides the power for us to stand and say, yes, I'll be the one to enter to his call. I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take his life into a darkened world.
For just a little over 7 years, the Calvary Baptist Church has had a worldwide radio ministry. We've heard reports of people listening in Saudi Arabia and people listening in Jordan and Iraq, as well as folks who are listening from all over the United States. The radio program Because of Calvary is on over 80 radio stations, and the radio program that you're listening to now, this week at Calvary, is on over 20 radio stations across the United States and also streamed on the Baptist Radio Network. Even though this is a great ministry and we love to be a part of it, we also understand that it comes at a great cost. We're asking many of you who are faithful listeners to the various radio programs of the Calvary Baptist Church to take a brief time and pray and ask if God would work in your heart to contribute financially to the cost of these different radio outreach ministries. Think how much influence an investment could make if that investment was able to get people all throughout the Middle East and Asia and Europe to be able to hear the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You can go online and give at becauseofcalvary.com. And there, just click on the donate button and mark that Calvary Baptist Radio Ministry. We thank you so much for your faithful listening. And now we ask you to consider some faithful support.
Myra, my shield, my rock, my shield, my Jesus is real. I can feel deep within my soul. Feel him in my soul. One night I repented. I got down on my bended knee, crying, Lord, have mercy. Won't you save my soul from sin? I'm walking not alone, but I'm headed straight for home. And my Lord is real. I can feel him in my soul. Come to Jesus, repent, get your feet on the solid rock. He's the one who will help you. He will hear you when you cry. It's Jesus, our Savior. He's a friend and a faithful guide. And my Lord is real. He will lead you to the other side. My rock, my shield, my Jesus is real. I can feel deep within my soul.
Now it's time to open your Bibles and prepare your heart for the preaching of God's Word. Today's message from the Calvary Pulpit is brought to you by Pastor Ryan Brown.
Psalm 130, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. That thou mayest be feared, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Let's pray together, may we? Lord, your word is indeed a powerful thing. Lord, it reveals you. Lord, not just who you are, but how you carry yourself and how you respond and how you minister and how you help. Lord, there's so much of the how we've learned about you in these things. Lord, I pray that we can learn the lesson of the depths. And in Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 1, I'd like you to mark that text, if you would, please. Out of the depths. Out of the depths. Now, if you're prone to these kind of things like I am, I have an adventurous kind of mindset. You know, when I dream, I'm always the hero, and I've always defeated at least two or three battalions of soldiers by myself, you know. When I was a boy, it was always about, you know, some sort of adventurous thing that I was going to do, swinging from the trees and all that kind of business. You know, you read Out of the Depths, it almost sounds like you're starting an adventure story, doesn't it? Out of the depths of the jungle he came. He's talking about something very different, isn't he? He's not talking about an adventure that any of us would care to speak about. You know, we could say from our vantage point, out of the depths of the ship he came and launched onto the shores of Normandy. But I would imagine that those soldiers that launched onto the shores of Normandy did not look at that as something they would like to do again. You know what he's dealing with here, and we're going to see in just a moment, is a depth of which we so often find ourselves, but that none of us ever want to go back to again. For us, it's a depth that we all have experienced and how our life began. But he's going to speak out of the depths. And in that depth, out of that moment, you know what we're going to find about God? We're going to find forgiveness. We're going to find mercy. We're going to find hope. We're going to find redemption. And we're going to find all these things out of the depths. You know, you and I don't like the depths, but my goodness, the lessons that we learn in the depths are awfully good lessons, aren't they? And so let's look, if we can, at our depths, if we may, first in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." Now, let's mark these depths as something that apparently are a good thing, because it forced us to cry unto God. Psalm 120 began this way, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord." So we see that the depths had the same effect as the distress. So the depths are not something that is good. The depths are something that forced them to their knees. Now, as we've pointed out, these psalms are the pilgrim psalms, and there are 15 of them that correspond to the lives of years that were added to Hezekiah. But the Bible teaches us that in Hezekiah's day, the depths are made clear. We know what it was. But you'll see here that this is an untitled psalm. It says a song of degrees. Now, this is the way that it's supposed to be sung. It's one that would have the crescendo there at the end, where it was one that was supposed to be building. And so it starts out quiet, and as it increases, it increases in intensity and in volume, and then eventually, pow! You get the final story at the end. But we see that it's written out of depths. It was depths that were the same as distress. Depths that nobody would ever want to repeat. If we were to take this psalm and apply it to the lives of many people, I think it's reasonable to do that because these things are written for our ensample and written to help us. It's not titled as a psalm of David, but I want you to imagine David writing this psalm, if you would, just for a moment, and think about him penning these words out of the depths. Think of all the depths that David would have known. Think about the depths there in the cave of Adullam when his king was chasing after him, trying to kill him. I want you to think about the depths of his sin after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. I want you to think about the depths of lying there at the bedside of his very young infant child, that his sin caused its death. I want you to think about the depths of David when he saw a son that was left. He stood there at the gates of the city for 40 years, but never once spoke to his father, and his father never once spoke to him. I want you to think of the burden and the heaviness of that. And then I want you to think, as a very likely a 60-year-old man, Absalom. David's about 85. David is an 85-year-old man. The last memory he has of Absalom is his son hanging by his own hair in a tree. And one of his own generals thought it would be a good idea to run him through with a sword. You know, there is no victory that I would ever want to win that would cost me the life of my children. David was so distraught that he wanted to kill the man that killed his enemy, because his enemy was his son. Think of that depth. Let's say it's Hezekiah that wrote this, even though it wasn't penned according to his name, but it may very likely have been. Let's say it's Hezekiah. Hezekiah riding with the armies of Sennacherib bearing down on him, with the mocking of Rabshakeh, with the people questioning him and moving away from God. I want you to think about those depths of that moment where you think, I have no leadership, I have no control, and our city is about to be sacked. And then let's bring it forth to 2014, and now let's talk about our depths. Have you ever battled or scurried along the bottom of the depths? I've had times that I've been in the depths. It's not been the depths of loss. It's been the depths of discouragement. It's been the depths of frustration. It's been the depths of disappointment. The multitude of the depths we can apply to our lives. There are some of you that have experienced the depths of your children and their abandonment of God. There are some of you that have experienced the depths of a loss of a loved one. There are some of you that have experienced the depths of when we celebrate a Mother's Day, a mother who's no longer with us. On some of you, the depths can be wide arrayed, but there are still depths. You know, there's nothing that life can throw at us that is worse than the depths of which our life begins. For the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, you hath he quickened who were dead. We were dead. We were dead. That's how far down we were. Furthermore, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So not only were we dead, but we were eternally, irrevocably separated from God. That, my friend, are some serious depths. Furthermore, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, we were without Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, we were strangers from the covenant, we had no hope, and we were without God in this world. Now that is a pretty bleak existence, isn't it? To come and say, there's no hope in this world. So many of God's people think that they've found hope through social action or political action or whatever it may be. But they've abandoned the one thing that is true hope, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us of the depths. And you and I, we know these depths. And it was in these depths that he was forced to cry out unto God. And he comes to God in verse number 2 and he says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I imagine in his mind he made emphasis in that. And he said, Lord, as he maybe knelt down on his knees and he was down. And he said, Lord, I just want to point out to you that this is not just a regular kind of dinner situation. This is not a calling out to you for whatever circumstance that I normally may call out to you. This is something very different, Lord. Lord, I'm so broken. I'm at the end of myself. Lord, I am in the depths. Lord, I am so far down that I have no idea how I'm going to get out. He's crying unto the Lord. We find a similar word used when we speak of Jonah. Jonah, I imagine, had passed the fear point by the time he started to cry unto God. We know the story of Jonah. He rebelled and would not go where God told him to go. He would not do what God told him to do. He would not preach what God told him to preach. And so he was swallowed by a whale. Somebody said, is that story real? Yes. How do we know it's real? Because the Bible says it's real. And so we find Jonah swallowed by the whale and he's down in the depths. And I imagine the first few minutes he was pretty scared. I would be. Imagine there was great fear that was welling up over top of him. Imagine there was great fear that was covering him up. But after about 2 hours, remember he was in that whale for 3 days. I imagine after 2 hours, the fear started to subside and he was thinking, I'm still alive in here. And at some point, he cried out to God, not out of fear, but out of hopelessness. No chance of survival. The assumption of defeat. We find someone here riding out of the depths. And they cry out to God, and he says, Lord, be attentive. Lord, please listen. Please listen. Occasionally my wife will talk to me and I don't listen. Any of you men like that? I just don't listen very well. And what she does when she has something of importance, she'll come and she'll sit me down. She'll say, all right, I want to talk to you. I want you to listen to me. And I'll say, okay. And I'll look away and she'll say, I want you to look at me. And I'll look at her. And then I'll look away. And she'll say, no, come back. And I'll look back. And I'll put my eyes right on her. And she'll say, all right. I'm going shopping with my mother. And I want you to give me some money. And I said, baby, you've got all my money. She said, all right, just as long as you know how this works, I'll be back this evening. What do I mean by that? She's going beyond saying, I want you to just listen. She's saying, I want you to be attentive. This prayer that we read here is not just some casual prayer. Lord, thank you for my day and bless our missionaries. This is, Lord, I'm so down and so desperate. I have nowhere to go. And I'm crying unto you, Lord. And I may only have one shot to even pray this prayer. And I'm calling out to you, God. And I don't know how long I've got. And I'm calling out, Lord, please don't waste my words. Lord, please listen. Then notice verse 3. He says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Isn't it interesting that he comes to God? He says, Lord, I want you to listen, but Lord, I don't want you to mark my iniquities. You know what he's understanding here? My iniquities led to my deaths. He's assuming responsibility. You want to have a revival in Calvary Baptist Church? It's not going to, and please understand, it's not going to come from a great number of people being saved. It's going to come from a great number of saved getting right with God. A great number of saved who look at their depths and say, Lord, please don't mark my sin, because if you do, I know that I won't be able to stand. You and I have a very different situation in a way, because I can come to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but Lord, I plead Jesus Christ, and He will in no wise cast out. And now I can come boldly before the throne of grace. You see, you and I had an opportunity that the psalmist never had because of the access that you and I have to God. And folks, you and I can be right with God in a way that they have never known. We can be more right with God than David because we have a continual dwelling Holy Spirit inside of us. So the Bible teaches us, He comes and He says, Lord, please don't mark my sin. And by the way, there are none of us that want God to remember our sin. There are none of us who want to stand before God and answer for what we've done. Because the problem is not the amount of which we have done. The problem is the fact that we were born dead in trespasses and sins. The problem is I'm a sinner. The Bible says the Jew or Gentile, the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin. And it is out of these depths that you and I cry. It is out of these depths that we call out to God saying, Lord, please don't mark my sin. And would to God we could have a generation of people that didn't come to God with an expectation other than, you know, I expect God to work. Maybe we could come to God without the expectation of, Lord, you owe me. Lord, you should do this. Lord, I've got a problem and I expect you to fix it. And so, it is in these depths that he recognized that God did not put him there. Some of you may have dealt with trouble in your life. I want you to realize God did not cause your trouble. Some of you are battling sin right now, and I'm telling you, God did not cause your sin. God did not cause your frustration. God did not cause your heartache. Some of you are suffering, reeling from the death of a loved one. You have the memory of that. I want to remind you that God did not cause death. God gave the gift of eternal life. God is the one that gave us hope in all of this. God's not the one that brought defeat. God's the one that brought victory. And so the Bible teaches us here that it's in these depths that he cried unto the Lord, and it's in these depths that he knew of God's certain judgment. And in these depths, he says, Lord, please deliver me. And I want you to notice what he found in the depths. The Bible says in verse number 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. It was in the depths that he found forgiveness. It was in his sin that he found forgiveness. It was in his trouble that he found forgiveness. It was in the onward onslaught of the army he found forgiveness. It was in a son who was hanging from a tree as a result of a father who abandoned him. It was a son who was lying dead on the bed because of a father who sinned. It was whatever circumstance you want to enter in. But it does not change the fact that with God, you and I can find forgiveness. The Bible teaches us that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's how you get salvation. But after that, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just. You know, one of the things of which God defines himself, where it says God is, you know, the Bible says God is light, God is truth. You know, we have this list of things. The Bible says God is faithful. Faithful to what? The Bible says he's faithful to forgive. God will put up with more than anybody you've ever met. And it's in those depths that you and I can find forgiveness. You know, I look at his problem and I say, all right, this guy, he's in sin and he's done wrong, and it's in his depths that he needs to get right with God. But I contend to you until we all say, I'm going to get right with God. In the depths, I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. Until we all recognize that we had better keep a short account. You know, I asked David yesterday, we were driving around making some visits, and I asked him, I said, son, I said, do you ever ask God to forgive your sin? He said, well, you could tell he was confused. And he said, what? And I said, I'm not talking about you ask God to forgive your sin when you were saved. What I'm asking, have you ever asked God to forgive your sin since you've been saved? No. Why would I do that? You know, he had the attitude that many of us have. I'm pretty good. I mean, compared to the cat down here, I'm pretty good. Compared to some of the guys that, you know, Nick Shepherd throws in jail, pretty good. Hey, compared to Nick Shepherd, I feel pretty good about myself. You see, what we do is we reference one another. But until we go to God in sincerity and ask God for forgiveness for our sin, we're going to miss out on God's forgiveness. You know, forgiveness makes your heart tender, and forgiveness makes the heart of the one you just forgave tender. When I'm willing to come to God and say, Lord, forgive me, that keeps my heart tender. Why do you think David was a man after God's own heart? It's because he never did wrong. It's because in that depth, in the depths of his sin, he came back to God again and again and again and again. And so, he comes and he says, all right, there's forgiveness. How much forgiveness is God willing to give you? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. May I ask you, how much grace is God's riches going to be able to care for? How much do you think God is able to forgive? The Bible says it's according to the riches of his grace. And so we find that there's forgiveness in the middle of all this. And then notice what forgiveness leads to. Forgiveness leads, in verse number 5, I wait for the Lord. You know, this is an assumption and an expectancy that God is going to deliver. But notice that that only came after a first admitting, Lord, I don't want you to mark my sin. Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. He said, I wait on the Lord. My soul doth wait on the Lord. And in his word do I hope. Why do you and I have that little last word at the end of verse number 5? It's because in his word you and I find forgiveness. It's in his word that you and I find hope. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Where do I find that? I didn't see that on a billboard. I found it in the Word of God. I found a Bible that told me about forgiveness. I have a Bible that laid out what forgiveness really is. I have a Bible that tells me of hope. I have a Bible that tells me of grace. And so the Bible teaches us that in these depths he cries unto the Lord. And God forgives because there's forgiveness with him. And his soul waits because he has hope now. But notice verse number 6. The Bible says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Verse number 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Notice he speaks about those that watch for the morning. What do we say? Hey, the sun's coming up in the morning. One thing you can guarantee is going to happen. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. And there's going to come a day where the sun doesn't come up. But there will never be a day where you and I do not have hope in Jesus Christ. In the day that the sun blinks out, you and I still have hope in Jesus Christ. In the day that all the stars have burnt their last flame, you and I can still know the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. And so he points out, he says, let Israel hope. Why? Because in God, there's not only forgiveness, there's mercy and redemption. Notice verse number 7. The Bible says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Notice how he says, with the Lord. With the Lord. You know, you and I have people that we have conversations with and say, well, if you're talking with them, this is what you're going to get. There are some people where you say, well, with them, you're going to get a bad temper. With them, you're going to get a negative attitude. With them, you're going to get, well, with God, he says, all right, with God, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find mercy. Why was God going to give you mercy? Well, Jeremiah understood the Lord, the need for the Lord's mercy. He said, if it was of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. He understood the reason for the Lord's mercy. You see, mercy comes before grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You know what you and I deserve? Hell. You know what grace is? Getting what we do not deserve. You know what we do not deserve? Heaven. Mercy keeps us from hell. Grace takes us to Him. And so the Bible teaches us that we have mercy. Why do you and I need mercy? Well, without it, we're going to be consumed. But also, the Bible says that God is willing to give us mercy to help in time of need. When do you need God? Sometimes we would say, I need God in this circumstance. I need God to help me with my wife. I need God to help me with my children. I need God to help me at work. I need God to help me with my decisions. I need God to help me here. You know what we really ought to realize is I always need God. At what point can we say, you know what, I think I've got this one, Lord. I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm good. I think I've got it figured out. See, the Bible teaches us that with the Lord there's mercy. God does not want to give us what we deserve. He does not want to give us the penalty of being without God. He does not want to give us the penalty of being without Christ. He does not want to give us the penalty of being without salvation. He does not want to send anyone to hell. What He wants to do is give us mercy. That's what God wants to do. And He wants to give us plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. Now, what is plenteous redemption? Romans chapter 3 verse 24 says that we've been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I want you to notice here that grace and redemption are linked together. Grace and redemption are linked together. The Bible teaches us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. We were redeemed with something very different. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's the penalty that it costs for us. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so Jesus Christ paid a penalty to remit our sins, and then He died to pay our penalty once and for all. But then the Bible says, in Romans chapter 5, say, well, I've got a sin problem. Sin is abounding. The depths are abounding. The trouble is abounding. What do we do? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We sing the song in our choir, God's grace will always be greater than sin. Some may have a higher stack of sin in their life. Some, their depths may be a little deeper. Some may have descended a little further away from God. But it does not change the fact that God's grace is always and always will be greater than our sin. Amen. Why is that so important? Because God did not get us down in the depths. God is not the one that got us in our trouble. God is not the one that condemned us. God is not the one sending us to hell. God is not the one that gives us a hopeless existence. That's not God at all. Here's what God is. God is the one who has His hand out and says, if you'll just take My hand, I'll be glad to pull you out of the depths. I'll be glad to pull you out of the depths. The other day, we were down in the barn. Jacob was down there and I was down there. I was feeding. We have a set of stairs and then we have a hole on the first floor. Why bother with the stairs when you can just jump down to the second floor, the basement, right? So he just jumped down through the whole 10-foot drop, you know, down there to the ground. And then we start to leave, and you know what Hainsey did? Is he runs over, climbs up the gate, Shanny's back out the hole instead of climbing up the steps. First thing that went through my mind was, I remember when I used to do that. The second thing that went through my mind was, I don't think I can bend and fit through that hole to get out through there again. Now, I could probably find my way out. I could probably do it. I'm up to it. But there are some depths that I just don't want to attempt anymore. Oh, I did it. I mean, I don't have it on camera or anything, but I've got witnesses. I've done it before, and I could probably do it again, but I don't want to try to get out of these depths. You know, the same thing could be applied to our life. You know, we may be saved, and we say, well, we got out of those depths, but why in the world would we want to get back down to a place where we couldn't get out of on our own? Why would we get down there and say, you know, I remember when I got out of here one time, and I remember I called on God. You know what? It'd be kind of embarrassing if I called on him now. He got me out of this mess. You know how humiliating it would be to get halfway up in that hole and then have to pull out my cell phone and say, Cassie, can you go and get the truck and a chain and pull me out? How embarrassing it would be to have to climb back down. It's humiliating, isn't it? You know what God says to us? He says, I want to take you out of the depths. But occasionally, you're going to take yourself right back down into them. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to tell you that no matter how many times you get down there in those depths, I'm willing to bring you back out. No matter how much you get away from God, no matter how much you decide that, you know, you don't need as God as much as you did. You don't need church as much as you did. You don't need to serve as much as you did. You know, as much as, you know, I don't need to be involved like I once was. As much as you think, now that I'm away, I can never return. I want to tell you something. My redemption is plenteous. My mercy is all you need. And I don't want to leave you down there. I want to pull you out. God does not want to leave us away from Him. God does not want to leave us in any depth of life. God wants to pull us out. And He said, because, and just for that, you're going to have mercy. My redemption is plenteous. And by the way, when you asked me not to mark your sin, I took care of that. Because verse 8 says, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You know what we find here in this psalm? Is we find that God answered the prayer of someone in the depths and gave them deliverance through His forgiveness, through His hope, through His mercy.
Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of This Week at Calvary. For a copy of this message, or for more information about messages from the Calvary Baptist pulpit, feel free to write to Calvary Baptist Church, 2306 Waller Street, Portsmouth, Ohio, 45662. Visit becauseofcalvary.com or call 740-353-6844. We look forward to your visit with us next week at 9 a.m. on 1260 WNXT for This Week at Calvary.